Welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. Stay tuned for singing and the morning message. Good morning and welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. My name is Steve Willing and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Christ Fellowship Bible Church is an independent church that serves the Crisfield Marion Station area, and we meet at 5910 Crisfield Highway here in Marion Station. Our Sundays begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m. We have classes for our adults and the kids can join into. Love to have you for that. Then at 10 o'clock our worship service starts at 10. So that's only about an hour and a half away. So we'd love to have you come and join us as we look forward to worshiping the Lord and a time of singing and prayer together and the preaching of the word. So please come out and join us today, 10 o'clock. Then this evening we'll be back at 6 for our evening worship service. That's a more of a modified version of our morning worship. And that's always a good time to fellowship together and hear the word preached one more time. So come on out at 6 o'clock this evening. Tuesday evening, we have our Bible study that starts at 7. We're going through the book of Isaiah. And then Wednesday morning, we shift over to the nursing home here in Crisfield. And we have a time of singing and prayer and devotion with the residents there. And that's always a joy. The public is invited to come. That's either on the second or third floor at 10 o'clock on Wednesday mornings at the Alice Betaws Nursing Home. Also, I want to remind us that Operation Christmas Child begins this week, Monday the 12th, and we here at Christ Fellowship, we're a Operation Christmas Child drop-off center, so you can drop off your shoeboxes right here at the church, and we've got some hours, so Carlotta Penny, who takes care of this for me, she's given me a list here of hours that she wanted me to throw out here to you. Monday and Tuesday, so again, the 12th and 13th, our drop-off hours are from 10 to 1 here at the church. Then on Wednesday and Thursday of the week, the 14th and 15th, the hours are from 4 to 7. Then Friday and Saturday, the 16th and 17th, we go back to 10 to 1. And then Sunday we can pick them up on Sunday, and we're going to have a group there from 1 to 4. And then Monday, which will be the last day, that's the 19th. That's going to be 9 to 11 that morning, and then we pack everything up, and we send it off to the next drop-off point. So I'll have these posted on our Facebook page, so if anybody wants to take a look at them, you certainly can. But please pass the word. So if you got any shoeboxes, this is the week to get them out. And you can check us on our Facebook page and call me at the number that I give at the end of the program. So with all that being said, I have a song that my daughter sang last week, did an outstanding job, and I think it'll be a blessing to each and every one of you. And that was Kayla Willing singing for us, "He Will Hold Me Fast." And certainly that song has a lot of depth to it, because we understand that the Lord himself, when all else around us fails, that Christ alone will hold us fast. He'll keep us right where we need to be. With that, I have a message that I preached last Sunday morning following Kayla's message there in song, about that of "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Our focus today is going to be in the 7th verse, where it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And as we've gone over the last several weeks, we know that the Beatitudes, there's a building of the Beatitudes. It begins with us being a lost people, a people who are seeking after that of God that we needed, as noted back in the third verse, poor in spirit, that we need to recognize our spiritual poverty, that without Christ we are nothing, that we are spiritually dead, as the Apostle Paul would write in the letters to the Corinthians. And we also note that those who mourn, we understand that God will comfort those who are mourning, mourning death, mourning sickness, mourning whatever the occasion may be. But the idea behind it is that we would mourn our sin, that we would see our spiritual poverty, we would see our sin for what it is, we would mourn over it, and in doing so, that is, we would mourn over our sin, we would turn to the one who is able to bring comfort, and that is Jesus Christ. We see the blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, that of being a gentle people. So once we've come to faith in Jesus Christ, that we are transformed, that the power of God has transformed our lives, and we're not out in the world living wickedly anymore. We're not living for our self-serving desires, but we're living for that of Christ, and we will be gentle. We will be like Christ. There's a transformation that takes place in our lives when we do come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's just not that we turn over a new leaf or just start something new, like a new program of some sorts, but God does a miracle in our lives and we become a meek people. The Bible says, as we had hit on last week, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." So for the born-again believer, there's going to be these new desires that are placed within us. We will long for, ardently, for that of God himself, to see God glorified, for God's people to be discipled and nurtured and maturing in their relationship. Then we would have a hungering and thirsting for the Word of God. We would want God's Word to be prevalent in our lives from the day-to-day walking with Him, that we need something that will sustain us, to hold us, to for us to feed off of each and every day, to keep us where we need to be as we serve the Lord faithfully. And today we come to verse 7, which tells us, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Blessed are the merciful. So part of our lives as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, that we know that there are various facets of our life in Christ. And part of that, again, would be the gentleness of which we have, the kindness that we show other people. We know that there is a hungering, thirsting for that of God's Word and God's people to grow, our own personal lives to grow in Christ. But also a part of who we are as believers is to be a merciful people, a people who are merciful. We've heard the term, and I know back in the day when someone would maybe do you ill will, I know as kids growing up, we would have those spats as children, and we would use the phrase, you know, what goes around comes around. So when people treat you wrongly, we're looking on a negative side to think that's going to happen to them. You treat somebody bad, it's going to come to you one of these days. And I can remember it being said to me numerous times as a child. What goes around comes around, and that it can be and it certainly has some of its foundings in the Scripture, because the Bible tells us we reap what we sow. If we go out and live an ungodly life, a life that is separated apart from God, that we know that there are certain things that we will reap because of that. We might not reap them in this life, which oftentimes we do, because we understand that sin has its consequences. Sin will have its consequences. If you go out and you're a thief or a murderer or anything along that line, your sin will find you out. There are certainly those that get away with it, but a majority of people do not. Thieves will be caught, murderers will be caught, they'll be locked up, or as far as capital punishment goes in certain states. But we understand that, yes, what goes around comes around, what you reap you will sow. But when we speak of along the lines today of being merciful, that is also something of which goes around comes around. That you and I want to be known as the people of God, a people who show mercy. Because the Bible here tells us that blessed are the merciful, for they themselves, they shall obtain mercy. They shall obtain it. So we're a people that would hope to reap what we have sown. So we would share that of mercy. We would sow mercy into other people's lives. And a part of that is because you and I today, that we have been blessed with an abundance of mercy in our life. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that God Himself has granted us an abundance of mercy. He has shown it to us. He has displayed it to us. He has given it to us. And with that, as a born-again people, that we look to do exactly that. We look as God has shown it to us, then we in turn, we want to distribute that among people as well. We discussed last week when we spoke about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We talked about the imputed and imparted righteousness of God. God imputes His righteousness into us. And in turn, the Bible over in Micah, and I'm trying to think if we used this last week or not, but if you turn with me once again to Micah chapter 6, the Bible says that in God here in the Old Testament, He has shown us, God had revealed to them what is good, what are the right things that you are to do, what are the way of which you are to go. The Bible says in verse 8 of chapter 6 of Micah, He says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. He has shown us as people what is the right thing to do. And the right thing to do according to the Lord, as the Bible says, and what does the Lord require of you? How are we to live our lives out? Even here in the Old Testament, before we come into the New Covenant, there was a standard that the people of God would live by. And now so much more for us, if we are born again believers, that there is a way of which we should live. And what does God require for His people to do? Well, it says to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So there's three things of which we see the Lord Himself saying that this is what I require of you. This is what is man is called to do. And there is certainly a summation of everything involved in these things. When we talk about doing justly, having mercy, and walking humbly with your God, there's a summation of the commands there. But as he notes here, that there is the need for that person who is looking to walk with the Lord, and what God requires of them is to love mercy. To love mercy. The question would arise, well, what is mercy then? What is mercy? Well, we've defined that over and over again here. It's something that we try to do when we use throw these terms out here. And mercy across the board is God in that way, or anyone for that matter, but we'll use God here first, that God Himself not giving us what we deserve. That's what mercy is from a biblical standpoint. God Himself not giving me what I actually deserve. So me and all humankind, for that matter, I deserved a place in hell. I deserved that place that was reserved for me in hell. That's what I deserve because of my sin before God. God is holy. God is just. He is pure in all his ways. I have not been. And because of what God has said and told it right from the very beginning, that if you break this commandment to Adam and Eve, here's what you do. And if you don't do this, if you go against what I've said, the Bible says you will surely die. And we just won't surely die a physical death, which was very apparent to all of us today, but we will also die a spiritual death. And that's what the book of Revelation calls the second death. That is when we understand that those who have never come to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ will be cast into the lake of fire. So when we come back to defining mercy, understand very clearly that mercy is, in and of itself, is not getting what we actually deserve. Not getting what we actually deserve. That is just paramount in the character of God is mercy. God himself shows an abundance of mercy day in and day out to the people of this world. God himself is very merciful to them. You and I, we deserve to die. The moment of sin that it was committed, we deserve to die. But God himself, with an abundance of mercy, just as the book of Ecclesiastes and elsewhere teaches us about how God, his mercies are new every morning. God's mercies are new every day. That there's not, in the sense of the word, there's not a running out of the mercy of God. God just continues to overflow in his mercy towards you and I. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing that the Lord himself does love mercy. That he is merciful. That he shows you and I mercy. And that's what the Lord, he has shown us what we should do. He has required it of us, just as Micah says here, to love mercy. Now, certainly you all, as much as I, that I would want to have mercy shown to me. And as we define it, that there are times when I've had to stand, as I've testified before, that I've had my day in court, and I've asked the judge to have mercy on my soul. Sometimes it worked out, sometimes it didn't. But I certainly want mercy. But there's also, when we talk about that, of asking the judge or the court not to give me what I certainly deserved. I'd broken the law. There's penalties to breaking the law. But also within mercy, there is also the idea that it's that of a giving. Of a giving, just not of God giving me to that place. Well, let me start all over. That idea that God is withholding from me what I did deserve. But also within the confines of defining mercy, there is also the aspect of giving. There's also this notion of what God gives to us. Now, I want us to look at Matthew 9, if you would drop back there for a moment. I think we're pretty clear on, I would believe, that when we talk about mercy, because that's the general definition of it. Not getting what we deserve. We go to the court and we ask the judge to have mercy on us. You know, I know that I broke the law. I know that I did this. And I know that the penalty for this is a fine or jail time. But judge, if you'd have mercy, we would understand that. But also there's this aspect of mercy of the giving of God. Chapter 9 of that of Matthew. And let's run down to verse 7. The Bible says, when Jesus had departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. So the two blind men were there, Matthew chapter 9, looking at verse 27. We good? What did I say? All right. I'm glad, Carlotta, you shook your head and said, I'm not nowhere near there. So for me, I'm like, Carlotta's just, she's just lost today. She's not been following what I've said, but once again, it's me. Chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 27. And Jesus departed from there. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, the reference to Jesus, Have mercy on us. Have mercy. Show us mercy. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. So what did they want him to do? Well, certainly they were blind. What did they want? What was their need in their life? What did they desire for God to give to them? Why were they asking for mercy? They were looking for God in the person of Christ to give them. And the Bible says in verse 29, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. That was typical, as Jesus would say, don't say anything. And then once they were healed, they went off and did it. But see, they were asking for mercy. They were beggars. They had no other way of earning far as a living. They were on the road begging. But the one thing that they wanted from the Lord was their sight, because then they could hopefully get back to some kind of natural routine, something of which they could earn their own way, make their own living. But at this point, they had no other recourse but to be alongside the road asking for people to give to them. And they asked the Lord for mercy. You see my condition, Lord. You see the place that I am in. You see what's going on in my life. These two men, they were blind. Have mercy on us. And in doing so, that we know that the Lord himself, he had mercy. And it's not that he withheld anything. He didn't give them what they did deserve. But what the Lord did, he showed them grace. He certainly had mercy upon them. And he gave to them. The Bible, again, is noted, when we speak along the lines, certainly we want to be a merciful people. If there are people who have done us wrong and there's a penalty due to their sin, that oftentimes we would say, just as I did as a child, you know, what goes around comes around. You're going to get what you deserve. The Christian, for us, it's not to be that way. As the born-again believer in Christ, that it's not to be, I'm hoping that you're going to get just what you deserve. You did me wrong. I may not do you wrong, but I'm hoping that at some point in your life that you'll get what you deserve. For us, the born-again believer, it's not to be that way at all. It's not to be for us. We're not to look to take out vengeance. Vengeance is not ours to serve on other people. You and I are to be people. Withhold that of giving what people actually deserve. They may have deserved a tongue lashing. They may have deserved a piece of my mind. They may have deserved all these things of which our carnal nature can sometimes drum up in our lives. But God himself calls us and requires you and I as the people of God to be merciful. If you drop back just a little bit in that same chapter, Matthew chapter 9, I had the same problem. What was it Bible study last week? I wanted to keep saying Jeremiah, and it was Isaiah the whole time. It took me to the end of Bible study. Chapter 9 of Matthew, looking there at the ninth verse. And it says, as Jesus passed on from there, it says he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And this is the same Matthew that is the writer of this particular gospel. He saw Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose, meaning Matthew, he arose and followed Jesus. He followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, the Pharisees were the conservative religious elite of the day. They were very pious in who they were, and pious, when I use that term, I use it in a negative way for them. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Because that was off limits to them. They would not defile themselves with people outside of that of Judaism, or in the sense that one that would be considered defiled, like Matthew, who was a Jew, but had surrendered over to that of Rome as being a tax collector. The Bible says, as it goes on to verse 12, as they've asked Jesus why, or his disciples, why they would do that, but Jesus heard it. It says that when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Those are the ones that need a doctor. Those are the ones that need the doctor, the ones who are sick. And who are the ones that are sick? The ones in, from Jesus' perspective, the ones who are sick are those who are sin sick, the ones who are lost. Those are the ones that need the power of the gospel. Those are the ones that need Jesus immediately. They need the doctor to show up and do heart surgery on them. So, as he notes, he said to them, but those who are well have no need of physician, but those who are sick. And then he says this in verse 13. He says, but go and learn what this means. Go learn this. If you want a lesson today, go and learn what this means. He says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. So the religious, again, elite of that time, they were like, oh, these sinners, and they're just so wicked, and now you're defiling yourself with them. But the Lord himself, he understands they were sinners. He understands they were lost, just as the Pharisees themselves were lost, because they had not come to faith. Because if they had come to faith, then they too would have had mercy upon the sinner. They would have mercy upon their souls, wanting them to see the error of their way, desiring them to be nurtured in the ways of God, and leaving their past behind. But here the Lord says, go and learn this. If you want a lesson, here it is. Learn what this means. I desire what? Mercy. I desire mercy. Yes, Jesus understood these people were lost. He knew that they were sin sick. But with that, the Son of God wanted to see them come to a place that their sin sickness could be eliminated. It could be removed. And the only way that was going to happen was through Christ alone. So for you and I today, as we look, we understand that part of the mercy of which you and I show as believers in Christ is a part of the testimony, the witness of which we have. Because remember, we know that there are people who were just like us prior to our conversion that were out in the world doing our own thing, cussing, swearing, drinking, blaspheming God, weren't attending church, anything that we could think of, we were involved with it, but God showed us mercy.
And dear friends, that wraps us up for this morning. I'd like to thank you for tuning in today. If you would like to contact us with any questions or comments, or if you would like this sermon or any other in its entirety, please feel free to call 410-623-2401. Drop us a note in the mail, 5910 Crisfield Highway, Marion Station, Maryland, 21838. Go to our website, www.christfellowshipbiblechurch.com. You can look up some information there or check us out on Facebook. But once again, thank you for tuning in on WBEY 97.9 and listening to our program heard here every Sunday morning at 8:30. God bless you all and have a wonderful week in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for